The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
From the Associated Press, I'm Megan Crane, and this is Ground Game, a podcast about politics from the ground up. This week, we're talking about Missouri and a heated battle for Senate between Claire McCaskill, the sitting senator, and Josh Hawley. We're joined by Missouri reporter Summer Ballantyne and national political reporter Juana Summers. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Summer, can you start us off by telling us about what's happening in Missouri right now? Can you lay out the race for us a little bit?
Yeah, Republicans view the Missouri Senate race as one of their best opportunities of flipping a seat in the Senate, where the GOP now has a slim 51-49 edge. Most polls show that this race is a toss-up. Some Democrats are hoping that the enthusiasm that's put the GOP-led House in play might spill over into the Senate, but it looks a little bit tougher here. And McCaskill is one of 10 Democratic incumbents who are seeking re-election in states that Trump won. Here in Missouri, Trump won by 19 percentage points in 2016.
Well, that's a lot. So can you tell us about Claire McCaskill? Who is she? What's her political history?
Yeah, this is McCaskill's running for her third term in office. She's really working on portraying herself as a moderate, working across the aisle. That's very necessary here in Missouri, which has been trending Republican for the past presidential election cycles, and where Republicans have been doing very well in terms of the state legislature. So she's trying to win over some rural voters and really playing up her role as someone who tries to reach across the aisle.
Okay, let's play some sound from her. We have one of her ads that really plays up her Missouri roots.
You know, I come from Missouri. It's what I am. It's who I am. It is what keeps me going. It's what lifts me up. I look at my job as what can I do every day to get something done for the people of Missouri.
So, Summer, is that how she's seen in Missouri as a local girl?
She talks about that a lot. I think that Hawley's trying to flip the script on that and portray her as kind of betraying her Missouri roots and becoming more of a Washington insider. But she talks a lot about growing up here in the state, going to school here in the state, living in many different areas here. So I guess that's up for voters to decide how they perceive her.
Yeah. So what are some of the big issues in Missouri in this election cycle?
So I think that Judge Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court is going to play a very big role here. I know that Josh Hawley has been talking about that a lot as he's working with voters. Another issue that's been front and center that McCaskill has been pushing is the Affordable Care Act and pre-existing conditions. She's been criticizing Josh Hawley for joining on as Missouri's attorney general, a lawsuit that is against some portions of the Affordable Care Act. And she says that if he's successful in court, that would mean that Missourians with pre-existing conditions would no longer be protected through their health insurance.
Sure. Actually, that brings us to another piece of sound. Let's play an ad from Josh Hawley, where he talks about that issue specifically and pre-existing conditions.
Earlier this year, we learned our oldest has a rare chronic disease, pre-existing condition. We know what that's like. I'm Josh Hawley. I support forcing insurance companies to cover all pre-existing conditions. And Claire McCaskill knows it. You deserve a senator who's driven to fix this mess, not one just trying to hang on to her office.
Summer, I was surprised by the defensive nature of that ad. It's sort of unusual, I guess, for a political commercial. Is healthcare a weak spot for him? Is that pre-existing condition issue really playing well for McCaskill?
Yeah, I think that across the country, actually, Democrats view healthcare as a really important issue to voters, something that across the aisle voters really care about. So it does seem like, you know, Hawley might be concerned that that might not play well with voters, the perception that his role in this lawsuit could mean a negative impact on their healthcare coverage.
Okay, so what does campaigning look like in Missouri? What's unique when you're in the campaign cycle? What are the candidates doing to get the attention of voters?
Well, like I said previously, Missouri has been trending red, although it had been labeled as a bellwether state for a very long time. I think there is still a very strong streak of independence here in the state. It's called the Show Me State. So
what does that mean? I actually don't. I've heard that before. What does that mean, the Show Me State?
Yeah, it's people here often say, show me, don't just tell me that. So they're really looking for proof and evidence versus just necessarily taking people at their word. So I do think that there is an independent streak here, although it has been trending very red in recent elections. So Holly's approaching this and really trying to reach out to the Trump voters and tap into that enthusiasm. McCaskill is in a tight spot, and she's trying to peel away some of the votes in more rural areas of the state, hoping to cut away at Josh Hawley's potential lead in those areas. So that's, I think, a lot of her strategy in terms of, you know, trying to connect with those voters as well. That has meant that I think she's ruffled some feathers with the more liberal and progressives in the state. But ultimately, I'm not sure if they're going to be so turned off about her efforts to walk across the aisle that they would vote for Hawley.
Okay. So Juana, who we're really fortunate, is also from Missouri. Can you tell us a little bit about the changing demographics in Missouri? Like Summer had mentioned that it's trending red, or has been for the last few cycles. Is that demographic change, or is that who's been bothering to vote? What's going on there?
Sure. So I think part of it is demographic change, and the other part of it is who actually shows up at these elections. So take the 2016 election, for example. President Trump, as Summer noted, won by 19 percentage points, but a lot of that turnout has to do with the fact that rural turnout was up in some of the parts of the state, some of the collar counties in particular, and parts of urban Missouri. So we're talking about St. Louis City, Kansas City, parts of St. Louis County. They did not turn out as high a rate as they did in 2012, and I think that's part of the reason why you see this trend continuing of the state growing redder and redder.
She was elected as a Democrat in a Republican state before, right? It was already a Republican state when she was elected in the first time.
That's right. So I covered Senator McCaskill's first Senate campaign back in 2006. She was running against Missouri Senator Jim Talent in what's been regarded as one of the most negative and contentious statewide races in Missouri history. And it was a big deal back then, too, right? Because when she won in 2006, it brought Democrats within two seats of shifting the Senate balance of power. So it looks very much like where we are right now. And one of the big things that came across in that race to me is the fact that McCaskill really made it her business to campaign in small towns and rural areas. You know, she's a former Jackson County prosecutor, so the county that Kansas City is in. And she really focused on her roots, though. She was born in Rolla, Missouri, which is in the rural part of the state. And she talked about how she was raised near her family's feed mill. So she's kind of a local girl, kind of like what we hear in that ad from this cycle. So for me, having covered her then and spending some time on Capitol Hill with her now, it very much feels like what's past is present. And we're really seeing a redux of the playbook she played in her first Senate race.
Great. I had another question about the dynamics this cycle. If the Republicans want to flip it and the Democrats desperately want to protect it, is there a lot of outside money coming into Missouri? Like, what's going on? Do we know about the dynamics there, Summer?
There's many millions of dollars of outside money pouring into television ads and other ads here in the state, both for McCaskill and for Hawley. So I would expect to see huge amounts of money from outside groups continuing to pour in as Republicans and Democrats nationally really push to win the seat.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let's listen to Donald Trump, who showed up to campaign on behalf of Josh Hawley.
Josh is a star. There aren't many of them. He's tough on crime, loves our military, loves our vets. And he's 100% pro Second Amendment. Not bad. And we need Josh in the Senate to fight for Missouri.
Juana, can you speak to the dynamics of bringing in a big ticket campaigner like the president on behalf of a candidate?
Sure. So one of the things I thought was really interesting when President Trump came to Missouri in late September is that it actually sounded a lot more like a rally for Donald Trump than it did on behalf of a top flight Republican Senate candidate. And that's something that we've seen from this president across the country, where he's really, you know, taken strides to leverage his own popularity among his base on behalf of these Republican candidates. Of course, this is a president who's very popular with his base. This was a rally that clearly, from listening to the things he said, if I recall correctly, he was saying that November's election is referendum on his entire agenda, that Democrats are obstructionists, that if he and Republicans don't win, it would empower dangerous and crazy people. You know, he's really making about him and his agenda and speaking to the base that he wants to turn out. I didn't take that speech, and I don't think many people did, as one that was looking to bring out more moderates or to reach across the political aisle to bring in new voters. But that's pretty much what we've seen from these trips that the president's taken as we get closer and closer to November's elections.
So can we talk about when the party decides to send someone like the president or a former president? It's not always the candidate who's in the weakest position, right? It's sometimes the candidate who's in a marginal position where they see an opening, right? I mean, what's the calculus that goes into that?
Absolutely. So this is one seat that National Republicans really want to flip their way. They think they have a good shot. Obviously, Claire McCaskill has been able to win one re-election. She remains somewhat popular, but they think they see an opening to cast her as someone who is only aligned with national Democrats who are in power. They see a number of openings on top flight issues where they can probably take some notches against her. And she's been working really hard, as Summer said, to present herself as someone who cuts down the political middle, who can appeal both to far left progressives as well as to centrist, someone who you've heard her in recent weeks tout bills that she's worked on that President Trump has signed. So she's really trying to make sure that she's in touch with the types of voters that are in her party. But I think that Republicans really see this as an opportunity, that the president is popular. Donald Trump won the state by 19 percentage points, for him to help lift Hawley over the line. And this is a race that we see from polling after poll that is just really neck and neck.
Okay, great. I'm Megan Crane, and this is Ground Game. We'll be right back. I'm Megan Crane, and this is Ground Game. We're talking about Missouri and Claire McCaskill's fight to keep her Senate seat as a Democrat in a Republican state. Juana, there's a lot of chatter about a blue wave in November on the House side, but McCaskill's race is still considered competitive, as you just said. What's the dynamic on the Senate side?
So McCaskill is one of what we in Washington refer to as those red state Democrats who are up for re-election, and where Republicans see an opportunity that they could possibly flip those seats.
Right. Summer said there are 10, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so we're looking at a small group of senators, and Claire McCaskill is one of those. It's a seat that National Republicans have been eyeing for quite some time because of the dynamics in the state, because of who turns out to vote, because the president did so well there, that they really think they have an opportunity to capture. I would say that nationally, the House is seen more broadly as in play. That doesn't mean Democrats aren't trying to hopefully flip the Senate as well, but I think that's seen as more of a long shot strategy, and it's more likely that we'll see National Democrats whittle away at one or two of those seats rather than seeing a wave come crashing in and all of a sudden Democrats control that chamber.
Right. But one or two seats is a lot. I mean, right now they're only down by two, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is quite a bit. And if you look at some of the tight votes that we've had recently on Capitol Hill, one or two votes could make all the difference, particularly if you're talking about someone like a Claire McCaskill, who, as Summer noted, has been taking a more moderate stance, and replacing her with someone like, say, a Josh Hawley could make a fundamental difference in what we see on some of these critical pieces of legislation moving through.
Great. Summer, we had a story last week that talked about the pressure on McCaskill from the left, which I thought was particularly interesting, because that sort of steps into the national dynamic and the parties trying to find their path and both being stretched to the edges. How is that working for McCaskill in a red state?
Yeah, she has been facing a lot of pressure from more the far left liberals here in the state. In particular, she's been facing some pressure with Kavanaugh, people who really wanted her to come out more strongly against him earlier on. She's been delaying, or she had been for quite some time, announcing her official position on that. So I think she's kind of walking a fine line between trying to stay in the middle ground and hopefully appeal to some Republican voters, but not go so far to the middle that she's losing her base in liberals here. I think part of the risk that poses is if she's not seen as being a strong advocate for those very liberal positions, then perhaps there might not be as much enthusiasm among the Democratic base in November.
Okay. And Juana, how does that work in Washington then, to be a centrist when the parties are being pulled to the side? Does it work as leverage for her, or is she sort of left without friends?
Yeah, I think that's actually going to be really interesting. Obviously, it's Missouri, not Washington, that's going to decide Claire McCaskill's fate in terms of elections. But it's very clear to me that the energy on the Democratic side of the aisle is really in the progressive movement. We've seen that in a number of these critical House primaries. We see that in the people who are lining up to possibly run for president on the Democratic side of the aisle in 2020. So I think that that's going to be really fascinating. The fact of the matter is, though, in D.C., Republicans at this point control both chambers of Congress. They control the White House. So if Senator McCaskill wants to have legislative wins to tick off, in many of these cases, she's going to have to work with Republicans. And she's been someone who has said that she wants to do that, be able to advance the priorities of her state. She is, as I mentioned earlier, has been recently touting some of the legislative victories she's had that have been bills that have been signed by a Republican White House.
Great. Thank you. We've been talking to Missouri reporter Summer Ballantyne and national political reporter and Missouri native, Juana Summers. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'm Megan Crane, and this is Ground Game. Our show is produced and edited in Washington by Kevin Venese. You can reach us on Instagram and Twitter at APGroundGame or by email groundgame@ap.org. We really do want to know what you think of our project, so please reach out. You can rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks for joining us, and come by next week.